What's up, everybody? It's me, Chris Corvin, here with another episode of Dripping Creativity Podcast. Today, we have a fantastic special episode where we are not really diving into a person, but a book. We have Sarah Burton in here with us to discuss her upcoming release of Cherry Trail, A Story from Havenburg. A beautiful book, a beautiful tale. You're going to learn all about it and more. Before we get into it, just a heads up to everybody who happens to be watching the video version on YouTube or Spotify. Wanted to let you know we had a little bit of issues when it came to recording. I did what I could. It gets better near the end, I promise. I enjoyed chatting with Sarah a lot, and I hope you guys all enjoy it too. So we're just going to log in and see if Sarah is online. Hey, Sarah. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we're here to talk about you, but at the same time, we're also here to talk about your book. Your new book, Cherry Trail, A Story from Havenburg, is being released on May 24th. It is currently on pre-order right now.
Yeah, the ebook is available for pre-order.
And then on your website, what else do you have available?
You can get a signed copy that'll have little treats in the box if you order one. I'm excited. I have some orders and I was like, oh shit, man, I thought I'd get like one.
Okay. So let's roll this back. You and I first met 3 months ago?
Dude, no. I think it was like maybe January. I mean, it's been like 4 or 5.
Has it been? Either way.
I think. I don't know.
Either way, it was like a friend of a friend's post. You posted something, I posted a reply, and then you started talking to me about handing out condoms at bars.
Well, you told me that you were a bartender first, yes. I think, is what happened. And then, yes, I said I was that fun girl that you would be escorting out nicely, because I don't fight, I just like keep trying to talk and have a good time, and if you're nice, I probably would have given you a condom and said to have a good night.
Yeah.
Because as I put in my books, safe sex is the best kind of sex,
and that was my introduction to my future best friend. From there, it was basically a roller coaster of reading and falling in love with romance, because as everyone here by this point knows, I'm not a romance guy at all. But, you know, she let me read her one book and I fell in love. And I was like, nope, I'm sold on everything Sarah wants to do. 100% there all the way. It's been one hell of a thing, man. So let's get to the book. Tell us a little bit about Cherry Trail.
I always hate this part, like it's like writing the blurb and then having to write the blurb in person and tell people about it. Just terrifying. So it's a literary romance. It takes place starting in the 90s and kind of it's a coming of age story that follows our main characters, Kat and Jace, that are neighbors growing up in a small town in Michigan, and it follows their journey as they're growing up. It covers about 20 years of their life, so you get a lot. You're going to experience a lot of those, you know, ups and downs, the different things we experience from like young adulthood entering into, you know, like the new adult college era. So it covers a lot of stuff.
Why don't you tell us about the inspiration behind Cherry Trail, A Story from Havenburg?
Okay, so as you know, I didn't write for like 10 years, but I used to write all the time when I was a kid up and through like my early 20s. And I always wrote stories about human interaction, human connection, just kind of like the importance of that and just different relationships. And then I watched the show first. I watched the show and I was like, well, let me read the books. And as I was reading them, I got really pissed off because I didn't like the direction that they were going in. And I was just like, fuck it, I can do better than this. I can write a book that I really want to read. And it's not that those books were bad, and they're very popular, they're very well written. There were just things about it that I'm like, this just isn't, it's pissing me off. So I thought about that and I kind of like sat on it for a bit. And then me and my friend had like a really inspiring phone call. And 2 days later, I woke up and I wrote 10,000 words in a day. And yeah, now we're here over a year later.
Yeah, no, the whole process of the book there, because this is the technical re-release, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what happened with the first one, and why did you decide it's time to pull it back?
Well, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, first of all, and because I didn't go to school for English or anything. I didn't really like look into the things I should have looked into. We can preface this that I was going through an undiagnosed like 6 month period of mania. So there was that. So there's just a lot of this like energy and impulsiveness and just like, you got this, just do it. And and then I had people encouraging me. They were like, yeah, go for it, it's great. And so I got to a point where it was just like, all right, yeah, we'll put it up on KDP Select. I did a little bit of like, you know, research here, there, whatever, threw it out to the world. And then I was officially like properly diagnosed for bipolar disorder. I calmed the fuck down. And then I was kind of like, all right, let's like take a step back. Let's breathe. Let's look at this. And it was actually my husband had read a little bit of it, and he was saying, he's like, you know, it's really hard to get into it because he's like, I'm reading it as a man trying to put myself at, like reading it, it was first person. So to be like, I'm reading as a 6-year-old girl, and it's like, I ran across the field and played with my teddy bear. He's like, I can't, like, and I was like, yeah, okay. And so I stopped and I'm like, well, let me go open some of my other stuff up. And I did. And I, for whatever reason, I thought that I had always written in first person. Never. I never wrote in first person. It was always third person limited. And so I was like, all right. So I pulled the whole book and I rewrote the entire thing. And at that time, it was almost 200,000 words. I rewrote the entire thing in third person limited.
So actually, that's a very good point, because I know a lot of other writers, they hate the fact that it takes so many drafts to get something done. Like a lot of them feel if they don't get it right in the first go round, then they suck as a writer. Is that something you battled with, or did you know it was going to be more of a trial?
Well, I have like horrible imposter syndrome, which most of us do. So I still like, I have, I mean, my book's coming out, and I'm still, and people are like, this is great. I have art creators that are like, I loved it. And I'm like, okay. But that's just me. I don't know. I've learned a lot in a year. And I would definitely say, like, when I wrote the first one, and I can remember meeting, like, I talked with an editor over the phone just to kind of get quotes and stuff. And she had read like a little bit, and she was like saying things. I remember being like, no, man, like, no, it's good. It's good. And then I just kept like reading it over and over and over. And then I started talking to people, like other writers. And then I started going back and reading some of my favorite books. And I was like, oh, okay, well, let's just like fix it. And I would agree with you. I think a lot of us sometimes, like, you get to a point where you read it and you're like, ooh, yikes, like that, it needs a lot of adjustments. And it can be daunting. And some people do, you know, like they'll stop and they might move to a different project, you know, just kind of like move on from it, and whether they go back or not. But I mean, I had already had editors, we were already working on it. And I got to a point where I still was like, I'm not happy. So I asked it back, like, from my editors, and I cut out probably over 15,000 words again. I added a few scenes back in, but I finally got it to a point. So, I mean, it took over a year for me to get to a point where I'm like, ooh, I'm really actually, like, pretty proud of it right now. So it's a process, for sure.
It is. One of the things that I personally love, and I know a lot of people love about Cherry Trail, is the characters themselves and how authentic and relatable they are to not only themselves and the world that you've created here, but just in general, in real life, you know these people. You went to school with these people. You might be these people. How how do you go about crafting these types of characters with so much depth?
So, I mean, I would say probably 85 to 90% of my characters are based off of somebody. Somebody that I know well enough that I can sit there and say, if this situation happens, this is exactly how they're going to react. Like, I know exactly how they would act in that situation. I know what they're going to say. And it's, I mean, those are real people, and I craft them into these characters. And some of them, like, I have people who've read Cherry Trail. There's a character, Steve. And when I started writing this book, it wasn't meant to be my friend Steve, but it's such a minor character. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna name him Steve. He's gonna be Steve. His wife read the book and she's like, hey, I'm like, yeah, that's 100% your husband. Like, it's just like, that's how I can make it real. And but yeah, I put a lot of that. I spend a lot of time talking to people. I'm an empath, and I think that really helps me to kind of pull these things and be able to put them into writing in a relatable way that people understand and relate to. So
then that actually goes right into the atmosphere, because that's the other half of what you are exceedingly good at, is crafting scenes and developing the world around the characters and how everything, like I know for me personally, right, like the one that comes to mind the most is the swimming pool scene with Jace coming in when Kat and I kind of think of her name now, when they're practicing the dance. That entire scene is so vivid in my brain. Are these places that you know yourself, or is this just more of things you would like to be around and just know them? So
Kat's house and Cherry Trail are based off of the house that I grew up in Michigan. I grew up on Tiara Trail, and it's like, that is the street that I grew up on. Her house is my house, and you know, I had a part where I described the entire house, so it was like me describing. Now, I didn't have that pool, but in my mind I'm like, well, okay, let's put the pool in there, man. So that was my house. We also didn't have the tree house. I had a friend who had, and it wasn't that cool of a tree house, but like, I had a friend who had a tree house. We all had memories in the tree house, so that's kind of where that came from. And I think, I mean, come on, every like kid that, you know, you wanted that cool place to hang out. The other big one that we had growing up was haylofts. Like, you know, if somebody had a bomb ass hayloft, like that's where we were all hanging out. So I put that in because I think another, like, creating the atmosphere is when readers are, you know, hopefully they're kind of like, oh, I wanted this so bad growing up. Or if they had it, they're like, ooh, I remember like hanging out. And it just kind of gives you those feels. I actually had a reader tell me, she's like, I'm having such a visceral response to like all of the 90s stuff and all of the things we did as kids, that she's like, it's just there and it's intense. And so I was like, well, because I honestly didn't think much of my atmosphere. It's funny that you brought it up, because I'm over here like, ooh, do I need to do more? Like, do I need to better develop this?
I think one of the things you are very good at with that is you give enough atmosphere and description that the mind builds based on what people already know. Like the camping trips and all that stuff. It's like, I've been on tons of camping trips. So yeah, you didn't go into the exact layout of everything, but you gave enough where you can fill out the world. And that's actually what makes it that much better. And why I think that makes you an amazing writer is you can give 10% of something knowing that a reader can use the rest of it and develop the story around that. And then it helps make it more unique and personal, right? Going to the emotional depths of the storytelling, because especially Cherry Trail, it's not just a cut and dry love story. You are literally spanning these people's formative years from childhood to young adult. How did you go and decide, A, this is the path I needed to take, and then map that out with such detail?
So, because again, it kind of just started, you know, with the, I wrote the middle, I wrote the spring break part first, and so then I went back and I started to fill in spots, and I kind of was like, well, how do I want it to end? How do I want it to start? And it got to the point where I'm like, well, the two main characters' relationship is so important. And I was like, and there's a lot to that. Cause I mean, they literally, like, they grow up together, and there's a lot. And I was like, there's certain things. And obviously it was 200,000 words. So I was like, I have so much that was cut out. And I'm like, I know what they ate for Cat's 13th birthday. I know what Jace wore to his homecoming dance. Like, and none of that's in there, but I know. And I kind of tried to go through and was like, well, how do I really address the things that are the most important? And I had somebody beta read who I really trust. And I was like, I really need you to tell me, like, is it, you know, cause I cut out a bunch. And she was like, no, she's like, I don't think there's anything that you could cut out that's not important to the overall story. And I think it just kind of, again, going into building those characters and the depth of their relationships, a lot of it really needs to be there to show, like, what they've been through, what they've experienced together, what they've experienced separately, and how they, you know, just adapt and grow.
So then with this basically being a coming of age and self-discovery story, what message are you hoping that the readers are taking away from this?
It does tie in those mental health themes. And as you know, it kind of becomes a pretty big part of the story. And I'm trying to think how to answer your question without giving too much away, because it's really learning to love yourself and embrace yourself for who you are. One of my biggest things that I tell people, if you know me well, I've said this to you at least once, is until you love yourself and you're fully happy and can love yourself for who you are, you can't love anybody else. You can't give anybody else a part of you that you don't, that's not, like, whole. And I think that's a really big, you know, underlying message throughout the entire book, is like, you need to be, like, happy and content with yourself in order to then give that to somebody else. And I think that's kind of part of the message of the book.
Perfect. And that goes into the mental health side of this. As I know, having read now two of your books, mental health is a huge theme that flows through everything. Why is it so important for you to have these in your characters' lives?
I was diagnosed with, I mean, I'm trying to think when I was actually, but since eighth grade, I've been dealing with anxiety and depression since eighth grade. It's a part of me. It's a part of my life. And I noticed when I was writing Cherry Trail that those themes started to slip in. I didn't start the book thinking, okay, Kat's going to have anxiety and depression. Like, I did not. And then all of a sudden I'm like writing and she's like, you know, having like cold sweats and she's nervous. And I'm like, oh, we're like, okay. And then it just kind of hit me at some point that I'm like, well, why wouldn't your writing have this in here? This is like your life. This is what you talk about to like everybody who meets you. And so I just went with it. And then I kind of went with it to an extent that I did. And my very first readers were like, I felt so seen reading this, because it's a little bit, and I don't know, I mean, I've read things that have mental health, you know, themes in them, but I've been told they're like, you kind of push it a little bit further than like things that I've read in the past. And that was kind of what I wanted to do, because again, we all experience it differently. And I just think it's important because so many of us, I mean, I've been posting for Mental Health Awareness Month, so many of us, you know, it's one in every five adults suffers with some type of a mental illness. So
it was important for you to get in there, and I personally think that's a huge reason why the characters are so relatable, just because they're human, and even the perfect ones are human, and you bring that out.
There's only one.
And you make it show. And I think that's, there's several other things that I would go into about it, but that would end up talking way too much about the story, and I don't want to give that shit away, because y'all need to get out there and fucking buy this book. Flat out. what do you think sets Cherry Trail apart from other lit romance on the market?
So yeah, there's the mental health themes in there. The one thing that I think, and I don't know, because again, I've been kind of I've been realizing like what I thought I was really into reading. I'm like, maybe that's not what I've always liked to read. So I haven't been reading a whole lot of literary romance. I read a few contemporary romances lately, and you know, everything's current. So I think what's kind of different about this one is it starts in 1993. And it was a little bit, I've been nervous about that because I'm like, well, there's certain themes that I know everybody's addressing currently because it's current. And I was like, well, none of that's going to be in this book because those weren't topics. Those weren't like, you know, things that we were living through back then. So, but that's, I think, something that makes it a little bit different is it's not, you know, there's a whole chunk of time where they don't have cell phones. I mean, they, you know, they're not just easily like, I don't know. It's just weird. And that's what even writing it out, there's certain things and I'm like, okay, well, no, like this, if this movie was released in the theaters, like there's no way they could be watching it at home on a VHS yet because that shit took like a year. I mean, you know, so there were just things that I really had to like go back and think about. So I think that makes it a little bit different. And I think also the timeline, I know not a lot of people are trying to span 20 years of somebody's life in a book, but I hope I did it justice and just kind of gave that full, like, well-rounded. I think I should also, I mean, it sets up, it's the first book of a series. So it's kind of setting that entire series up. It's, you know, the foundation of what's coming.
What made you really want to set it in the 90s and going into the 2000s?
Because it's my favorite fucking generation ever, man.
There we go.
No, for a decade. But I mean, really, though, it is like the memories I have growing up, you know, with my cousins. And again, it was that running through the woods, hanging out, simplicity, like not, you know, you, if somebody calls you while you're gone, you know, unless you have an answering machine, you didn't know. Like just even the excitement, like I can, and this is getting a little bit more into the 2000s, but I can remember, you know, you'd get home from school and you'd be doing homework and you'd have like your AIM, like, you know, it's on, but you're not looking at it. And I'd always, the boys I had crushes on, I'd give them a special like noise. So that way when they like jumped on, it would be like, ding, and I'm like, and I just think there was something about that excitement of like, you didn't know. I mean, I don't know. Now you can just pick up your phone and text somebody, but this was like, okay, like, am I going to be on when they're going to be on? And like, do we get to like kind of, you know, nonchalant flirt like over, you know, it's just something, I don't know. There's something about it, like just the nostalgia of it. I really wanted to touch upon. I don't know. I mean, that was like a huge part of it. And I just think I've also noticed a lot of the stuff that I write, it has to take place in the past because I almost never include like cell phone usage. They're going physically to the movies and they're rollerblading or they're just, I don't know, they're just doing stuff outside. And I'm like, well, this was my life. And so I'm writing what I know.
I think for a lot of people who are reading that, reliving these moments, it's kind of giving them a new perspective on what was, because a lot of people were going through those times not really grasping onto the core memories of what was happening. And when you're reading this book, going through these things, you're like, oh shit, I remember doing something like that. And it starts triggering things and it ends up making you remember things better than ever before. And that's happy feelings, man. And we like happy feelings.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and there's, I think, there's a line that I have in the book where she's kind of remembering the past and she says something about, you never know, you never, when you're young like that, like you're young and free, you never stop to take a minute to think, is this the last time I'm ever going to do this? And, which is so true, because we didn't, you know, we didn't think like, oh, will this be the last time? Yeah, like I'm playing chicken in the pool with my friends or something like that. So. Yeah.
Definitely. So then going into the series concept, at what point did you realize that you wanted to make a series out of this?
I'm trying to really think if the book was finished or not yet, if I had finished it or if I had my brain started like diving off into other directions. Okay, so I don't know that it was 100% finished, but as I was like writing all of these things, and I have this backstory, I have so much backstory, and a lot of it about Kat's parents got cut out because it wasn't helping the story progress. But it's so much, and I'm like, ooh, they would have an amazing story. And I was like, okay, well, I can do that. And then, as we know, there's some other characters in the book that I'm like, they need a story. So as we were kind of started, and then I had these, I've always wanted to write a book, like a compilation of short stories. And I was just going to call it Encounters. And it was all going to be these short stories of just these really intense, like meetups or whatever, you know, because I had certain memories like that just, I was like, ooh, this could be such a cute little, sexy little short story. And I started writing them. And as I was writing them, I'm like, wait a second. And my wheels started turning. And I'm like, well, what about Kat's high school boyfriend? What happens to him? And then I'm like, ooh, well, he can be this character. And then I was like, what happens to Rachel's boyfriend? And then I'm like, well, that can happen. And so basically I decided to take all of those characters. Like, if you're ever reading a book and you're like, I wonder what happened to those side characters that like they're important enough you remember them, but like, and then I made them a book. Actually, it's like two books. So it just kind of spun off into this crazy thing. And then and my world has grown since then, as you know. Like, now it's my main series with two series, but they're all in the same. So I know, and it's hard because I know you know these things because I'm nuts. Like telling you, and it's all in here. Like, I don't even write it down, it just keeps growing.
That rolls right into how you go about crafting things. Like, do you feel you know the beginning and the end, and you know everything, or are you kind of along for the journey and the characters are bringing you along?
Well, my characters definitely dictate my life a lot. They kind of run the show 90% of the time. We argue. But with my first book, I knew the ultimate end goal. I knew where it was going to go. Which is technically the fourth book that I've written. That one I didn't. I knew that I had this story in my head for years, like years and years and years and years. And I started it and I could never finish it. And it just like, there was something missing. There was a piece missing. And then I got that piece in real life. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I wrote it for NaNoWriMo. And I knew how it was going to start. I knew the main concept of like the main theme going through, like how these two characters, like what is their connecting factor. When I started it, I'm like, I don't know if it's going to have a happily ever after. I don't know if it, I don't even know if it's going to have a like, happy for now. Like, I had no idea where it was going. And it just became what it became. And that's actually, it's one of my favorite things I've written. And I'm not one to really say those things. Like, I don't really, I should probably be better about like kind of talking up my writing, and I'm not, but that's the book that I'm like the most proud of. So
definitely. I don't think you need to be better at talking up your writing, because that's, as amazing of a writer as you are, you are more focused about the characters because it's their story. So that's what you should be hyping up, is them, because they deserve to be hyped up, man. I mean, we all know I absolutely adore Nora, and we're not even going to talk about her right now.
Because this will be like 7 hours later, because you have a massive crush on her.
Don't give me stuff. Just, oh, no, later. Not now. I just can't right now. So, granted, a lot of these things are pulled from your own memories and your own things that are happening, and, you know, embellished and changed and altered, obviously without spoilers.
Okay, yeah, no, and then actually, I mean, I can actually pretty easily answer that, because like I said, it's based off of where I grew up. My parents got divorced, and then I spent my time, you know, between my dad stayed in Michigan, and my mom, she moved to Illinois, so I spent my time between the two, and Kat is a version of me if my parents hadn't gotten divorced. Like, would this have been my life? Because I had those friendships, kind of like, you know, those friendships that started in kindergarten and just kind of, you know, and, but even the fact that I, you know, spent time in two places, like obviously those friendships changed and, you know, there are different things. And so her story is kind of like my, well, what if, like, what if they hadn't gotten divorced? Is this what your life would have looked like? You know, would you have married the boy next door? Like, you know, where would you be, kind of a thing. So that's kind of where that, she's that like little, my favorite, cause I have four characters that all have a piece of me throughout my life. She's the sweet version of Sarah. She's that little like, oh, she's so precious and just like, protector and like don't corrupt her kind of person. So yeah, but that's kind of what, that's where the story, like where I was going with when I was like plotting it out. I'm like, okay.
And while we're talking about story and development, the romance aspect of this, the sex, all of that, how do you classify it on the range of people that love good sex scenes and stories? Are we talking like gratuitous and extreme? Are we talking about light and fluffy? Where do you feel it falls?
It's a fucking slow burn. But they're, I was gonna say, they're like, so yeah, so it's kind of, this is my, which I've told people, I'm like, this is my sweetest book that I've written. There's sex. It's not as explicit. It's not going to be like super in your face or raunchy or dirty. It fits my characters. And that's the best way I think I can describe it, is when I am writing sex scenes in any of my books, they're going to fit the characters. And like, you will read stuff where you'll be like, what the fuck just happened? And then you're going to read stuff and you're going to be like, oh my God, that was the sweetest thing I've ever... But it's still hot, like, and that's not me saying it. Like, this is beta, alpha feedback. They're like, well, I mean, it still got me going. And I was like, okay, so it's doing the job, but it's still staying true to my characters.
Best possible way to put that, and I can attest to the fact that it is a slow burn, and you get very mad at several points. Let's start kind of slowly wrapping this one up here. Aside from this story, what's next on the docket for Sarah?
So my next book out, because my best friend wouldn't have it any other way, is going to be I'm pretty sure we're sticking with the title, which is Making Shadows with Their Footprints. I don't know if this one's literary romance as much as it's literary fiction. It probably even touches a little into like women's fiction. There's a lot to the book. But I think the biggest thing with that one is it's the most of me that I've ever put into a book. I didn't know that I'd ever write it. And then I finished it and I was like, I don't think I'm going to have anybody read it. And my other bestie, Jessie, was like, fucking give it to me, I'm reading it. And then I was like, okay, let a few people read it. And they're like, you have to publish it. Like, that you just have to. So we will. I'm sweating thinking about it. And there's just a lot. There's a lot there. And like, you know, without giving spoilers or talking about it, it's just very, makes me feel very like exposed, but I'm okay. Like, yeah.
For me, having read both, I would classify it as the other side of the coin of Cherry Trail. It touches on a lot of similar things, but at the same time from a different angle and different people. And it's completely unique, and we'll talk about it way more later, because right now it's about Cherry Trail. So then let's circle back and go back through where people can find the book, when it's coming out, and where they can find you.
So right now, so it's available for, the ebook's available for pre-order on Amazon. You'll be able to order it through Amazon, and I think as long as everything goes well, I'm actually getting it up on Ingram Spark, so you should be able to get it kind of everywhere. Paperback. So paperback will be available everywhere. It's going to be just ebook on Amazon, because I will be running it through Kindle Unlimited for a little bit there. And then on my website, if you want a signed copy with some fun shit, it's kind of but if you want the glitter, just make a note of that. But anyway, so my website is just www.sarahburtonwrites.com. And then my handle pretty much everywhere is sarahburton_writes. So Instagram, Threads, TikTok. Yeah, I'm pretty much just on Instagram and Threads. Instagram, I try to be like semi-professional. Threads is me totally motherfucking unhinged. So
everybody listening, everybody watching, if I can get the video working good enough, you need to go and pick up this book, buy the pre-order, buy the signed copy, give it to your mom, give it to your dad, whoever the fuck needs this book, give it to them, because it is something to be remembered and read. So thank you very much for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
It has been a blast, and we will definitely be doing this again for a more personal one-on-one to get to know you, not just the book. And then back on the round table again later. So from there, we'll just sign off. Say goodbye to everyone, Sarah.
Bye. Have a good... Oh, what is it? Friday. Happy Friday.
Thank you so much to Sarah Burton for coming on and chatting about Cherry Trail. Don't forget to go and pick it up. All the links will be down below. And thanks to everyone who's listened. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a rating wherever you happen to be listening. Follow the links below to stay connected with everybody, including myself. My name is Chris Corvin. You can find me everywhere at Chris of the Void. This has been Dripping Creativity Podcast, part of the Creative Coffee Cafe community. Remember, stay creative. Stay inspired, and until next time, see ya!